There's a particular quote by Pope John Paul II, which came from one of his encyclicals, where he gave a bit of a summary, I suppose, of our Western world. And what he says is, we've become prisoners of the fleeting moment, seeking after the strongest sensory input on the level of pleasure and entertainment. But then we've found ourselves basically paralyzed in the face of life's true calling. I think it sums up kind of the essence of what we're living in so perfectly. We become prisoners of the fleeting moment. We become paralyzed in the face of life's true calling. See, because we live in a world which is completely focused on you, absolutely everything. And the whole message of our culture is that you are the center of the universe. You're probably not consciously aware of that, but it's been fed to you every moment, whether you're awake or even when you're asleep. It's been pumped into your head. You are the center of the universe. Everything revolves around you. And so we've come to this place where it's all about me. It's all about now. How do I fill my need? How do I entertain myself? How do I distract myself? Now, even think about the gadgets you've got in your pocket at the moment. You know, how many apps have you got on your smartphone? You know, there to fill every need at every moment. It's as though the scientific world is now revolved around you to make your life good and make your life easy. You know, the whole of our city is designed for entertainment. Whether it's the movie cinemas, the sporting stadiums, whether it's, you know, every shop selling you a bigger flat screen TV, it's all about you. And so the words of John Paul II are not an exaggeration at all. We've become prisoners of the fleeting moment. And our whole life, our whole existence is about seeking the greatest sensory stimulation. Yeah, it's almost like a drug addict who needs a bigger hit. You know, we need something more. You know, last week we were entertaining ourselves by watching TV, playing a video game, reading the newspaper and listening to the radio all at the same time. But now that's not enough. We need more. You know, we just need more and more distraction. Silence is like the greatest torture. We need something to fill every moment. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard, you hear this particularly amongst young people. If they sort of watch a program or even just something very short which doesn't please them, doesn't amuse them, and the great complaint is, well, that's just wasted 30 seconds of my life. I can't get that back now. You know, as though, you know, I've just wasted the moment. I need to fill the moment with the greatest thing. Even in relationships, if you don't stimulate me, if you don't make my life better, I'm going to find someone else who's more interesting. And then we wonder why marriages are breaking down. We wonder why people are so socially inept these days. Because it's all so self-focused. It's like the human heart has just become this black hole sucking everything into it. And it's being encouraged. It's being marketed to us. We become paralyzed in the face of life's true calling. The readings tonight are all about call. It's about this moment where God places a calling upon your life, and then it's up to you. How do you respond? Now, we should take this very seriously. As Christians, the whole of our existence is about following a calling. And so if we have been caught up in a culture which has made us paralyzed in the face of this calling, we should be concerned. We should be seriously concerned. Because everything we're doing here means nothing if that's the case. We're just going through the motions. If we're not actively responding to a call, there really is no point in being a Christian. There are a lot of people who are culturally Catholic, A lot of people who go to Mass because it's what their parents do or because it's just what you do to be good. But are you following a calling? Have you heard a calling? Now, the first thing you need to understand about a calling is that it is a call. You need to be able to listen. Now, I speak to a lot of young people, particularly young men. They're always asking, you know, how do I discern my vocation? You know, they're kind of saying, oh, I'm pretty sure I've discerned my vocation to marriage or whatever it is. And when I ask them questions, say, well, what have you done? What have you actually done to discern this? They say, well, I've weighed up what's good for me, you know, what my talents are, and, you know, what does the priesthood involve, and I can't do that, and what does marriage involve, and I can do that. And I say, well, that sounds more like a rationalization than a calling. Sounds like you've worked it out in your head. You've thought about it. But have you actually heard anything? And at that point, they give me this vague look and like, oh, what are you talking about? I don't know. But the same thing with your Christian life. You know, your life as a Christian, whatever your vocation, whatever your stage of life is, how do you judge what you're meant to do as a Christian? Do you create some sort of list in your head? You know, this is what's going to be good for me. This is what will work for my family. This is what my friends will think is acceptable. What's kind of normal in the culture of what we're in the midst of. Or do you listen? Do you enter into a place of silence and actually listen to what God might be saying? Because that's the whole point. It's a calling. And often it doesn't make sense. Often it doesn't fit into what you're good at. Often it doesn't fit into what's normal or rational. It doesn't fit according to your preconceived life plan. What we hear in this first reading, we've got this calling of Elisha. Now, Elisha's just an ordinary guy. He's working on a farm. He's behind a team of oxen plowing a field. If you were to put that into a modern day context, he'd be an ordinary guy studying at university, delivering pizzas on the weekend. You know, God breaks into the ordinary. And what we see is Elijah, this great prophet. He barely says anything at all. What he does, he comes and he gets his cloak and just throws it over Elisha. But the symbolism of that would not have been lost on him. Because the mantle, the cloak of the prophet, really is to kind of symbolize the vocation, the ministry, the destiny of what he was meant to do. And so Elisha would have understood very clearly what this actually means, what it entails, what the consequences are going to be if he says yes. He tries to bargain. He says, look, let me just go and say goodbye to my family. But Elijah says, what I've done, I've done. You know, I'm walking this way. Whether you follow is the question. I'm not waiting here until you come back. I'm going. Will you follow? And so very quickly, he does what he has to do. Kills the oxen, burns them, gives them the meat to his fellow workers, and he runs. Doesn't hesitate and just drops everything to follow in this ministry as prophet. Now we hear the same thing in the gospel. These people come up to Jesus saying, we want to follow you because we think you're the Messiah, you're the one we need to follow, but we need to go and do a few things first. But there are social expectations upon us. But there are things which are normal, things which our culture expects, which we've got to go and do. Now, what's interesting is Jesus doesn't say, go ahead, go home and say goodbye to your family. Go and do what you need to do. Go and pay your debts and finish your mortgage first. He just says, I'm walking. If you want to follow, fall in behind me and follow. And that's kind of the thing. Following can't be a part-time activity because you get left behind. If you're going to follow somebody, if they're walking, you have to follow them constantly to stay with them and to keep up with them. You can't sort of say, look, you go and I'll catch up. Doesn't work. Now, in many respects, this image that we have in the first reading of the mantle, the cloak being placed upon Elisha, this has already happened in our lives. This symbolism of like the ministry, the calling of the prophet being placed upon Elisha, this took place at your baptism. Now, most of you are baptized as screaming infants and you can't remember a thing about it. But the essential, one of the key parts, after you were dunked in the water, the priest anointed you with the oil of chrism as priest, prophet, and king. Basically, with the anointing to follow in the ministry of Christ, to follow in his prophetic ministry, his kingly ministry, his priestly ministry. It's the same action. Will you follow? Will you look at what has been done to you and recognize the responsibility that comes with that? Recognize the calling that is placed upon your life, that you would now walk in complete imitation of Jesus. Now, that is a very scary prospect. What that means is you walk following Jesus, not walking following the person who's sitting next to you, or walk following the culture of the church, or walk following the culture of all the people in your family, or those who have followed Christ before you. So often that's the way we go. We simply follow the culture. And what happens is we're following each other. The call of Christ is to follow him, to follow his word, his prompting, his spirit. And what that demands of you is that you would listen, that you would change the structure of your life in such a way that you can hear. Do you want that? If so, I dare say there's some things in your life you probably need to change. Turn off some of the music. Avoid some of the distractions. Try and wean yourself off the internet addiction or the addiction to checking your smartphone every 30 seconds. Get rid of some of the noise and start listening. Get rid of some of the busyness and start trying to understand who this man actually is. Go back to reading the word. Pick up the scriptures and understand, where is Jesus going? If I'm meant to follow him, where is he walking? How is he walking? How is he operating? Place yourself behind him. This is the journey which transforms. This is the journey which starts to transform our lives and then through us starts to transform the lives of so many. Because, as I said, very few people are prepared to actually listen to the voice of Jesus. We're much more comfortable following the culture of the church, the understanding of Christianity that's presented to us by so many other voices. Christ needs people who will be the beacons, basically be the ones that others can fall in behind, be the ones who set the example. Now, for yourselves as lay people in the world, this is an enormous question. How do you follow Christ radically while living in the world? In many respects, it's easy for me, for my brothers up here. You know, we're living in a structure of life which encourages this and tells us when we need to pray and when we need to work and when we need to preach. But for yourselves as lay people, how do you follow this radically? In many respects, there are no role models. There are no examples. You know, in the list of saints, there are very few who we can look to who were married, who were working in the workplace. Thankfully, thanks to John Paul II, we do have some great examples of this. But in many respects, you need to carve your own path through the world. You need to look at your own lifestyle, your own vocation, and work out, how do I do this? How do I give absolutely everything without compromise while still fulfilling my responsibilities, while still caring for those who are in my care? The only way to do that is to listen. Because there really is no one else to follow. There is no one else who is in exactly the same position as yourself. You need to listen. You need to be listening to the call of Christ on your life, the prompting of the Spirit, and have the courage to go where He leads. To listen to how the Lord is calling you to use your time. How is He calling you to use your finances? How is He calling you to use your gifting, your strength, your education? You know, we can't stand still. The whole point is we have to move. If you make mistakes, doesn't matter. Just move and keep listening. And as you go, you'll start to understand what actually is the voice of Christ and what is just our own ideas. But to simply start with that determination, to look steadily at the love of Christ who stands before you, particularly as we see Him here, present to us in the Eucharist, in this Mass. Look deeply at Christ and ask Him for the ability to hear. Ask Him for the courage to follow and then launch out. Have the courage to make mistakes. Have the hunger within you to learn and to understand, how does this calling work? How does the Christian life look when it's applied without compromise? When it's applied to my state of life? Once again, John Paul II constantly called us to be the saints of the new millennium. To be the ones who are prepared to set the standard. Where so many others find it so much easier to water down Christianity, to compromise, to just do what everyone else is doing. Be the ones who are bold enough to launch out. Be the ones who are bold enough to become the role models for a new generation. Live Christianity, live the gospel without compromise, and follow in that commission that was given to you at your baptism. To follow Jesus in His mission, in His life, in His love. And through this, the whole world will come to know Him.